Support for GLT comes from Bloomington Public Library, now offering a local podcast, Shelf Understanding. Past topics include the tiny house movement, virtual reality, an interview with author Eric Larson, and more. Shelf Understanding is available at bloomingtonlibrary.org, through iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
When a space opens up in your yard, why not fill it with a tree? But where to start? I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum, it's Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hello, my friend.
Today on GLT's Grow, Karen from Normal needs some advice on what tree to plant in your yard. She sent us a question on our page, wglt.org/grow, and she says in the spring they lost a massive old maple tree shading a hosta garden on the west end of their house. She says, we're trying to decide what to plant, maybe two trees in the area where the maple came down. They want to plant it as soon as the stump comes out, even though it's probably not the best time to plant because it's so hot and humid. But their hostas are shocked because they don't have any more shade. So she wants to know, can you suggest a tree? They've thought about ginkgos, poplars, Bradford pears. She says her husband also loves the long needle conifer on the ISU campus there in front of Williams Hall.
Right, right.
But they don't know exactly what that is. So any help that you can give them would be appreciated.
Karen, this is a great question. Laura, thanks for choosing this one for us to talk about because there's so many neat details in this question.
Okay.
And when you're trying to decide what to plant where, you know, you mentioned you have a stump there, Karen. You don't want to plant right on top of that stump. You want to plant on either side of it.
Why?
You can plant on top of the stump, and you can get into trouble in a couple ways. One is with settling.
Oh.
So the stump grinding will get most but not all of the stump. And sometimes you have to backfill to make up for the excess depth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have this spongy wood material mixed with the soil right at the plant site. And I'm not saying you can't do it, but for a do-it-yourself project, it's probably not the best choice. And if you think you're going to have to probably stake out trees that you place there, so if you put it where the old tree was, you're going to be putting the stakes where the roots still are.
Oh, boy.
So if you plant kind of on either side of that.
Mm-hmm.
And another reason I think this is an interesting scenario is because when I have my landscape designer hat on,
mm-hmm.
I think, what are the things that are making people spend money on their landscapes and hire professionals or do it themselves? And home construction is always a big catalyst, but it's this type of situation, the loss of a tree from a storm or just from age, is oftentimes the catalyst for new landscaping projects in
right.
the yard. So let's move on from there and talk about the timing, right? So, yeah, it's hot. It's the summertime.
And her hostas are wilting.
They're going to need a little extra help now that they have less protection from the sun and the wind.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about the landscaping companies. They would love to plant all their trees in that March and April time period, but that's impossible for many reasons. So landscaping projects go on all spring, summer, and fall here
mm-hmm.
in the Midwest. And they plant trees during that time also. There are exceptions. Spring harvested trees are oftentimes avoided being incorporated into landscapes during the heat of the summer. So what you have to do is what the professionals do, and it increase your observation and your watering. It's going to be really important because there's going to be decomposing roots left behind in the ground from the tree that is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And they're physical voids that can hold a ton of water.
Oh.
And it can wick the water away from your planting site faster than the roots can take it up.
Hmm.
So sometimes a gator bag or more frequent deep waterings, because the grow policy is infrequent deep waterings. But we got a new tree we're trying to get through the heat of the season. Plus, you're going to take care of those hostas, too.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty this week, putting in some new trees. And that's actually kind of fun, though, selecting a tree.
It's as fun as buying a new car, in my opinion, because
mm-hmm.
you have many, many options and versions to choose from. So, Karen, you mentioned that you thought about maybe two trees. I love that idea for this reason.
Okay.
It's going to take a lot of new tree to replace any shade that was created by the old tree. And you can also create the effect of a naturalized setting by choosing the same tree in two different sizes. So you might find one, let's say, dogwood tree that's the full 2 to 2.5 inch large containerized tree, which still has all of its roots, or the bald and burlap one, which was cut from its roots. You might have that one as the anchor plant, and then you have a smaller version of the same plant right there. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting planting technique, in my opinion. It adds a lot of interest, and it gives you maximum coverage. And I mentioned the dogwood tree first because they're a tree that likes competition and the company of other trees and the shade casts from buildings.
It's an extrovert tree.
So it's a good that way. And it's also one of the categories you could consider. So a shade tree comes down, you can replace it with a shade tree. But you could also replace it with an ornamental tree or two or three because it's a much smaller tree.
Well, what do you think of the ginkgo?
I like the notions of the ginkgos, poplars, and Bradford pears, but they wouldn't be my first choice personally.
Okay.
I have ginkgo planted at my property. My wife is a big fan of their artistic appearance, and they're very whimsical when they're a multi-stemmed bush form. You can see both here at the Fell Arboretum.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't host any of our other guests that we share the landscape with. So I would ask people to think about going towards oak, beech, and black gum, which are native species.
Ooh, black gum is cool.
Yes, it is. And you get great fall color. And you could go with the smaller oak, beech, or black gum because planting a big one is a challenge for a do-it-yourselfer.
Mm-hmm.
And then partner it or accompany it with a smaller version of the same thing, or maybe go to that understory tree to partner it with.
What about that conifer that she mentioned in front of Williams Hall, which is right the next building over from
that
where
would
we
be
are?
A good choice too.
What
that
is
that? A white pine. That's a white pine, the long-needled pine, as it's referenced in the question. It is one of only two native pines in the Midwest.
And so it's a native, which means it stands a really good chance of flourishing.
Yeah, and it's going to invite other stuff to your landscape that's going to benefit the rest of your landscape.
Well, what's it going to invite?
Insects, butterflies, birds.
All the friendlies.
The critters, E-I-E-I-O, all those. They're all coming. And but you have to have the understanding when it comes to the white pine of knowing it drops its needles two times during the year.
Two times.
So if you know that it's going to drop those needles, it'll give you some help in where you position it so that you can take advantage of those needles just falling there to the ground and giving you that kind of orange coating.
Mm-hmm.
Your hostas
it's sort of mulchy.
It's like natural mulch.
Yeah.
It's like manna mulch. It falls from it falls from the air. It falls doesn't fall from the heavens, but it does fall from above.
It's manna mulch.
It's manna mulch. And, you know, you might get a weed or something poking up through it, but otherwise its footprint is really low maintenance and attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And
is it fast growing?
They are.
Oh,
they are.
Really?
They are.
But it'll still be healthy because sometimes fast growing trees aren't the healthiest things out there.
That's true. But I think if you think about the fast growing trees, think about flexible and soft wood because that's the other part, the other characteristic that gets you into trouble. All trees can grow fast if they're in the right place. I have always felt like oaks got a bad rap for being slow growers. Well, yeah, they might be slow to establish, but in the right place, they're going to perform.
Is a western exposure, a western side of a lawn, a good place for an oak?
I think it is, and it certainly is for the white pine, too. They cast shade just like a shade tree does.
Okay, that's great. Merv, thank you so much for the advice for that. And Karen, good luck with selecting a new tree for your lawn. That's always an exciting time.
Fun time.
Yes, indeedy. Okay, well, next week on GLT's Grow, something every gardener, every property owner has to think about, watering. And you know, it's not as easy as we thought. That's coming up next week on GLT's Grow. If you've got a gardening question or a problem that you'd like Murph to tackle, just go to our website, wglt.org/grow. There's a form there to fill out and send along to us. Send a photo, too, if you like. We'd love to hear from you, wglt.org/grow.